This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabihil kareem, alayhi afdalus salatu wa atamu taslim. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yasirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's day 14. Oh, no, sorry. Not, let me correct that. It's not day 14. It's day 13. It's day 13 and night 14. Okay, so it's going to be night 14 tonight, inshallah, of the month of Ramadan, which means 2 weeks of Ramadan gone. And just that quick, subhanAllah. So tomorrow at this time, we would have completed 14 nights and days of the month of Ramadan. So tonight, if we are not about halfway through our, you know, goal of whatever we planned on reciting of the Quran throughout this month of Ramadan, I don't want to say halfway through the Quran, because maybe your goal is not to finish the whole Quran throughout this month of Ramadan. But whatever your goal is, if it is, in the early stages, it's time to just pick it up a little bit, try to push through, whatever we plan on doing throughout this month of Ramadan, now's the time to give it all we've got, inshallah ta'ala. Actually, it's not the time to give it all we've got yet. We usually try to push that towards the end, the last 10 nights. But if half of the month is gone, that means, subhanAllah, how quick is the next half going to go, right? But today we're going to be starting Surah Al-Hijr. And we will also go through Surah An-Nahl. And these two surahs, I think, if we could spend like a month learning these two surahs, we probably would not have enough time. And that's mainly because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a lot of His blessings, a lot of His, ni'm that He's given us on earth. And subhanAllah, I think one thing that we really need to do is establish prayer and give zakah. And that's exactly why I wore this shirt today. Establish prayer and give zakah. Should have my chair higher or something, right? So that I can see the shirt. I got to promote the shirt. Shirt is important, right? Establish prayer and give zakah. So that's important. Why is it important? Because we need to support National Zakah Foundation as well. There are people who need zakah. And so inshallah ta'ala, that's, you know, a beautiful gift that they gave to me, National Zakah Foundation. And I like this shirt. I love the shirt. I have a couple of these. Establish prayer and give zakah. We've been looking at that over the last few days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, you know, the importance of establishing prayer and giving zakah. And so it's a part of our life. We spoke about it yesterday. We need to make sure salah is established, and we need to make sure that we are constantly giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we do that, Jannah is ours, as we will see here today, inshaAllah ta'ala, in Surah Al-Hijr. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ألف لام را تلك آيات الكتاب وقرآن مبين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ألف لام را, these are the verses of the book, the clear Quran. The Quran is clear, very simple, very easy for us to understand. These are the verses of the book. And we're not going to begin with the very, very beginning of this surah on purpose, because I want to just, you know, explain a little bit of what happens in these first few verses before we reach verse number 9. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the people of Mecca. Of course, you know, they need to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They need to be careful of, you know, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also need to stop the shirk that they're doing. They do believe in Allah as their Lord. That's one thing that's interesting that we need to point out, that the mushrikun or the Quraysh of Mecca, those who worshipped idols within Mecca, they did believe in a Lord, one supreme Lord, the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they still associated partners in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they would need wealth, they would go to one idol. If they needed children, they would go to another idol. If they wanted, you know, help with health, they would go to another idol. So they had 360 idols around the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the people of Mecca that this is not right and they should stay away from it, right? And reminds them of the punishments of the people of the past. And we see that in Surah Al-Hijr. Of course, it's titled the Rocky Region, referring to the place of Salih alayhi salam, right? Where he lived, and the people of Thamud. Madain al-Salih. I never got to visit it. Never got to visit Madain al-Salih, but inshaAllah ta'ala, We learn a lot from the story of Salih alayhi salam, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from any hardship and any punishment or any sort of torment. Of course, we know that we are the nation or the people who will not be completely destroyed, right? We will be tested with certain challenges, but we will not, like, our, you know, humanity will not be completely wiped out. And, you know, that's an interesting thing to think of when we think of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here. He then goes and shows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or shows the mushrikun, I should say, how they should not be disgracing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they were calling him a madman, they were calling him a magician, they were basically calling him names. Now, the interesting thing there is, how did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam react, or how did he respond to those who were insulting him, those that were calling him names and making fun of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? All right. I'm going to try and get the full height out of my chair. There we go. Alhamdulillah. That way it's good for my back, right? So, in verse number 9 now of Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us who is actually protecting the Qur'an. Who is it that protects the Qur'an? It is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he says here, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is certainly we who have revealed the reminder. The Qur'an came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he then says, and it is certainly we who will preserve it. So the Qur'an is preserved from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we shouldn't be people that, you know, think to ourselves, oh, I need to be the person who protects the Qur'an. I need to be the person, you know, without me, this would happen. Without me, someone would have done this. Or, you know, these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls, right? He controls everything that's around us. And sometimes you see, yes, as Muslims, we have a responsibility to look after the Qur'an. We have a responsibility to protect the deen. But at the same time, ultimately, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what's important there is to have that motivation to do good, while at the same time, not to let the negativity and the bad things that we see around us affect us so much that we start to sway away and we say, oh, you know what? You know, this is too hard, or this is too difficult, or why are people even doing this, right? This isn't right. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one who makes and molds every situation. You'll notice that people over time in history have tried to burn all the copies of the Qur'an. You'll notice that people over time in history have tried to, you know, take away Islam from existence. But it will never ever happen. It will never happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls everything. And he says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who protects and preserves the Qur'an. Now, here's an interesting thing. Keep this in mind. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who preserves and protects the Qur'an, and if we want to be protected, and we want to be honored, and we want to be chosen, then isn't it important for us to memorize the Qur'an? Don't you think that it's important for us to be the people who contain the Qur'an within our hearts? Don't you think there's a level of honor and you know, dignity that is given to the hafiz or the hafizah of the Qur'an? And I've said this, my brothers and sisters, I remember the last time I said this at a conference, they never invited me back. But it was a conference in Ottawa, and it was an all-women's conference. And I was a speaker at the conference, and I'm clearly not a woman, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, made it such that I was at this conference in Vancouver, and I think the clip is still on YouTube. And I asked the entire, you know, audience, how many of you are hafiz of the Qur'an? And in the entire crowd, there was like 3 people. Now, let's give everyone benefit of the doubt. Maybe some of the hafiz or hafizat of the Qur'an did not want to raise their hands because they felt, you know, shy or embarrassed, or, you know, they just wanted to conceal that and keep it to themselves. And so let's just say 5, 6, 7, 10. Okay, 10 people were hafiz of the Qur'an. Out of all the women that are sitting there, I was like, wait a second. If you're all sitting here, and only 10 of you are hafiz of the Quran, then what hope do we have for our children in the future? Who is going to teach these children? And I'm not saying that women are the ones who have to educate our children, right? We all do. Every single one of us, mother and father, has to play an important role in educating their children. It's not just the responsibility of one to do this and the responsibility of another to do that. In fact, when we look at it from an Islamic perspective, it is the responsibility of the father to make sure that the family is receiving their education. So the father or the husband has a responsibility to educate or to provide education to his spouse, but also to provide education to his children. And he has to do so either financially, or he has to do so physically himself. He has to be the one that's going to teach his children, or he has to, you know, provide a system that is going to be good for his family. So if he goes to the masjid and he learns a hadith from the masjid, he brings it home and he teaches his family. Or he goes and he attends a Jummah khutbah, he brings it home and he teaches his family. So it is not on the shoulders of the women alone. But the point I'm trying to make here is that children are so attached to their mothers. Like, subhanAllah, if I was sitting here in the room and my wife was sitting over there and our children came in, they wouldn't run to me, they would run to my wife, right? So they would run to their mother. And that's just because natural instinct. They go to the mother first. In Islam, we put that emphasis on the mother, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, who's the most beloved person to us after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Your mother. Then who? Your mother. Then who? Your mother. Then who? Your father. Oh, right? You gotta wait. You gotta wait. You gotta wait. As a father, you gotta wait. You just need to be patient, right? You're gonna provide. You're gonna give. You're gonna give your time. You're gonna give your energy. You're gonna give everything that you have. And you just need to wait. And so my brothers and sisters, when it comes to that, when it comes to preserving the Quran, I encourage our sisters, memorize the Quran. Memorize, memorize, memorize the Quran. Why? Because if you're someone who has memorized the Quran, when you're pregnant with your child, you're reciting the Quran. When you're at home feeding your child, you're reciting the Quran. When you're at home with, you know, with their children, you know, the children might be out and playing and stuff like that. You're inside the house and you're reciting the Quran. Every time they come in, they see the link that their mother has in this world is with the Quran. And so they want to develop that link as well. You'll notice that if a mother is good at, I don't know, accounting, right? She's good at accounting. The children naturally, you know, they sort of have this interest. Oh, that's what, you know, that's what mom's interested in. They're all spending time around mom. You know, they sort of pick it up on these things. And so if you're always spending time with the Quran, sisters, you'll notice that the children in society will also establish that relationship with the Quran. We move on. Because I wanted to spend more time on Surah Al-Nahl, not on Surah Al-Hijr, right? So there's a lot more we need to cover today, inshallah ta'ala. All right, so let's move to verses number 44. Okay, verses number 44, 45. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now describing Jannah. He's explaining paradise to us. What do we find in paradise? What are we seeing in paradise? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just finished talking about Jahannam and he mentioned لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ. That's Jahannam. What about Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, the righteous will be amid gardens and springs. We'll have gardens and springs. We'll enjoy ourselves. Like now, alhamdulillah, I'm seeing greenery outside the window. And so it looks really awesome. You know, the trees are turning green. The grass is green. You know, everything is going back to the summer lifestyle once again. And, you know, you can wear your slippers outside. You don't have to worry about putting on boots and putting on a sweater and putting on a hat and putting on a scarf and putting on earmuffs and putting on a coat and putting on gloves and putting on, oh, so much stuff, subhanAllah, right? We get to now just enjoy the weather and enjoy the greenery and enjoy the colors. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we, the fact that we enjoy these things in this dunya, we will enjoy it even more in the akhirah. So he'll give us these gardens and springs that we can't even imagine. Don't think it's like the gardens and springs of this world, right? It's next level greenery, next level awesome, next level colors, next level beauty. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it will be said to them, enter in peace and security. So the people of paradise will be told to enter into paradise peacefully, humbly, nice, everything is there for you, and you are safe. There's no fitna, There's no facade. There's no problems. There's no issues. There's nothing. Just enter into paradise and you are safe. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will remove whatever bitterness they had in their hearts. In a friendly manner, they will be on thrones facing one another. Why in a friendly manner? Because people who end up on a throne, sometimes they end up being people that are like arrogant or, you know, very prideful, like, oh, look at me, look at what I've achieved. No, but the people of paradise, they will be on thrones, but they will be in a friendly manner. Come, you can sit on my throne as well. Come, you can eat from my food as well. Come, you can enjoy yourself around us. Let's just chill. Let's have fun. Let's enjoy. We are in paradise together. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will enter peacefully. They will be secure. And all the bitterness that's in their hearts will be removed. We won't feel any arrogance. We won't feel any pride. We won't feel any, you know, why are my friends doing this? Or you won't feel like, family, they're always nagging. They're always telling me to do this. My parents and children and this and that. Subhanallah, you won't have any of that. All of the bitterness will be gone. No stress, no anxiety, nothing negative in paradise. Everything will be good. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will be on their thrones facing each other. No fatigue will touch them. Allahu Akbar. You're teaching, you're tired, you're like, oh, I want to go to sleep, I want to eat, the barbecue is waiting, you can smell it. Allahu Akbar. No fatigue in paradise. You will enjoy time and time again from the things that you love for eternity until you can, like, we can't even imagine, right? We can't even imagine. So there'll be no fatigue, nor will they ever be asked to leave. Allahu Akbar. You will not be asked to leave. Don't leave paradise. Stay. You know how hard it is when you have to move, when you're being told you need to be kicked out, right, of the home that you're living in? It's difficult, right? So for those of us who rent, we know, like, subhanAllah, we just moved to Milton, what was it, December 2018, okay? And then we moved December 2018 to Milton, just about 3 minutes away. And then subhanAllah, 2019, we spend the whole year in the house. Beginning of 2020, our landlord tells us, 1 year, just 1 year and 1 month later, oh, you got to move. When are you going to move? In the middle of Ramadan. No chance. Not moving in the middle of Ramadan. Going to move before Ramadan, because I can't imagine having to have moved now in the middle of Ramadan. No way. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that we had to move. The point there is, we moved, then we moved, then we moved, then we moved. Subhanallah, we moved so many times in the last few years. It's not a good feeling. Children are like, oh, we have to move again. Wife is like, oh, we got to pack everything again. I'm like, oh man, I got to transport everything again. We need to unpack and get set up. And subhanallah, it's not fun. In paradise, you'll be there forever. You don't have to move. You don't have to leave. You'll be there and enjoy yourself always in paradise. Insha'Allahu ta'ala, we ask Allah to allow us to get there with ease and safety and peacefully. Ameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inform my servants, O Prophet, that I am truly the all-forgiving, most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful. What more could we want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so that's a reminder at the end of telling us you're going to get paradise, you're going to have all of these things. Hey, guess what? Allah is all-forgiving. So seek that forgiveness and trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive and will grant us those high levels of paradise. Okay, so let's move to the next surah. Actually, should we? We didn't even talk about Prophet Lut, alayhi salam. So, in the story, in the surah, there is mention of Lut, alayhi salam, and his people, and their destruction. And so I'll go through it very quickly, inshallah. As for the family of Lut, we will certainly deliver them all, except his wife. So his wife was from the people that did not accept the way of Lut, alayhi salam. We have determined that she will be one of the doomed. Okay, so she will not be from the people that will enter into paradise, or that will, I shouldn't say that. Let me rephrase. She is not from the people that followed Lut, alayhi salam's way. Okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, So when the messengers came to the family of Lut, now this is when the angels came to Lut alayhi salam. The angels came, they yesterday were with Ibrahim. Remember we covered that? So they were with Ibrahim and now they come to Lut alayhi salam. Ibrahim warned them, hey, Prophet Lut is there, right? And he is the nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam, for those who didn't know. So Prophet Ibrahim is the uncle of Lut alayhi salam. So the angels, they come to Lut alayhi salam and he welcomes them. He said, you are surely an unfamiliar people. You're not from here. You're travelers. And Lut alayhi salam used to take the travelers into his home to protect them from the evils that the people were doing in society. And I think we all know the evils that they were doing. There was murder. There was, you know, killing. There was robbery. There was cheating. There was, you know, illegal acts of all sorts that was happening to the people of Lut alayhi salam. And so what happens there is, he used to welcome travelers and keep them in his home, but then the society didn't like that. They didn't want him to protect them because they wanted to indulge in these people that were traveling through. And so he used to keep them, warn them, protect them, and let them go. Be on your way. Get out of this city, this town. This isn't for you. Leave. Because this town is messed up, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here that Lut alayhi salam, he's like, you know what? You're unfamiliar. You're not from here. They responded, we have come to you with that which they have doubted, which is the torment, the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've come to you to give you news that the punishment is coming from Allah. We come to you with the truth and we are certainly truthful. So travel with your family at night and follow closely behind them and do not look back. Go where you are commanded to go, right? So leave at night and don't come back and don't even look back. We revealed to him this decree. Those sinners will be uprooted in the morning. And so he was told by the angels, the punishment is going to come in the morning. Leave at night and don't turn back. Don't look back. Just go. Doesn't matter who stays behind, just leave, okay? And there came the men of the city rejoicing. They found out. So the people of the city, they found out that Lut alayhi salam was keeping these people in his home. And so Lut pleaded, indeed, these are my guests. Do not embarrass me in front of these guests. Don't do anything that is haram to these people. What happens? He tells them, fear Allah and do not humiliate me. They responded by saying, haven't we forbidden you from protecting people in your home, right? Haven't we forbidden you from keeping people who are traveling through in your home? You're not supposed to do this, so don't tell us what to do. Then he says, oh my people, here are my daughters. So marry them if you wish to do so. So he's talking about his own daughters, but he's talking about the women of society in general. He's telling the men, listen, marry the women. Okay, this is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in this is what Allah prefers from the human beings. So this was part of his message. By your life, O Prophet, right? So Prophet is not mentioned. So by your life, they certainly wandered blindly intoxicated by lust. So the mighty blast overtook them at sunrise. And we turned the cities of Sodom, right? We turned them upside down and rained upon them stones of baked clay. Surely in these are signs for those who contemplate. Their ruins still lie along a known route. Surely in this is a sign for those who believe. And the residents of the forest were truly wrongdoers. So we inflicted punishment upon them. And okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to go on and discusses the punishment. So here we saw an example of one of the stories that is mentioned in Surah Al-Hijr and is the people of Lut alayhi salam and how they were destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angel Jibreel, take his wing and dig it into the ground underneath them and lift them up into the sky and then turn it around and shoot it back down. And they were destroyed. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save and protect us all from any kind of destruction, torment, and punishment. Ameen. We move on to the next surah. The next surah is Surah An-Nahl, the bees. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah by saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ata amrullahi fala tasta'jiluh. Subhanahu wa ta'ala يشركون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the command of Allah is at hand, so do not hasten it, do not make it come quicker, don't ask for the end of time. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that if the end of time, the end of, you know, that if the day of judgment comes, right, the end of time, and you have a seed in your hand, then plant it. As in, continue to look after this world right up until the end. And not only looking after this world, continue to do goodness, to continue to always do the best that you can do forever until the end of time. And so that is the example that we're getting from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to the end of time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the command of Allah is at hand, so do not hasten it. Do not try to encourage the day of judgment to come faster. Just focus on doing what you are supposed to be doing. Don't ask when is it going to come. Glorified and exalted is He above all that they associate with Him in worship. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says from verses number 10, in fact, all the way till the end of the surah, amazing amounts of blessings are mentioned. Like so many, subhanAllah, I want to spend the whole day talking about them, but we literally don't have that time. We have a half an hour until Maghrib, so we'll take that time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He warns of the hour coming fast. Ata amrullah. That's actually a part I completely forgot to mention. The very first few words, He says, "Ata amrullah," that the hour is coming. Fala tasta'jilu, don't rush it, right? It's coming. So do good. How do you do good? You begin by recognizing your Creator. How do we begin by recognizing our Creator? Well, look at all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us. You want to know who created you? Simple. Read Surah Al-Hijr. Right? Read Surah Al-Hijr. Surah Al-Nahl. Read Surah Al-Nahl, the chapter on the bees, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us how much He's blessed us with in this world of, you know, goodness and khayr. Ooh, that was loud. I'm sorry. Just adjusting my armrests. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the blessings of rain. هو الذي أنزل من السماء ماء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the one who sends down rain from the sky, from which you drink, and by which plants grow for your cattle to graze. Allahu Akbar. You know, grass-fed. I was watching this thing with my children once. Children love baking and cooking and shows to do with cooking and restaurants and stuff like that. And we were watching this episode, and it was showing, it was in Costa Rica, and they were showing how these, I forgot what they call them, they're like cowboys and cowgirls, and they go out there, they ride horses, and they basically round up their cattle. And but it's not like, you know, on a ranch and, you know, within a fenced off area. No, their cattle are there to roam free. So they're free range. They literally are free. And one of the cows had like wandered off. And so they went out to try and hunt down this cow, not to hunt it, but to find it. Right. And so they went out and they found the cow amongst a bunch of other cows. And so they have a lasso, and they're like, you know, they're going around, and their horse is like, the music wasn't there. But subhanAllah, you know, they're just going around like that. And then they throw the lasso and pull on it, and they catch the cow, subhanAllah, and they bring it back. And it was just amazing. And then afterwards, you know, they were showing how nice the meat is when the animal is allowed to roam freely and to eat from the plants, from the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided, and how beautiful the meat tastes afterwards. Allahu Akbar, absolutely amazing, right? Can't wait to fire up the barbecue in a little bit, inshallah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, He sends the rain down for us to benefit from as well. We drink from it, but also the plants drink from that. And the plants are benefiting the animals that are grazing, okay? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with it, He produces for you various crops, olives, palm trees, grapevines, and every type of fruit. Surely in this is a sign for those who reflect. I went to do groceries today. I was slightly disappointed, I have to be honest. My favorite South African oranges were not there. And there were oranges from other parts of the world. There was grapefruit from Turkey, which I didn't buy, which I maybe probably should have, but I don't really eat too much grapefruit on purpose. And I think I should eat grapefruit. I don't know why. But anyways, so that was there. But the oranges that was, you know, the selection of oranges, half of them were all moldy. The other half, you know, they're just not the kind that you really prefer. So I was a little bit disappointed because I didn't really get the oranges that I wanted, right? And I was like, oh, you know, a good orange, it just tastes so good, especially after fasting all day, you know, or at suhoor time, you know, it gives you that extra juice in you. It motivates you. It also helps with the immune system, vitamin C and all that. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so many things on earth. And, you know, I went through and I bought dragon fruit. Alhamdulillah, we got dragon fruit because, you know, I love dragon fruit, but our daughter, the little one, she loves dragon fruit as well. I wish that we would get the purple dragon fruit in Canada, though, not just the white one, right? So for those of you who are importing fruits and vegetables from Southeast Asia, please bring in the purple dragon fruit. Jazakumullahu khairan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here the crops, and he talks about different things like olives, right? Which are amazing. Zaytun, the olive oil, you put it, you know, olive oil, little balsamic vinegar, shake the plate a little bit, you get those bubbles in there, take some bread, dip it in. The flavor is just amazing, right? And the health benefits is amazing as well. So, you know, from these crops, he then mentions the palm trees. What do we get from palm trees? Well, we could get coconuts, we could get dates, right? You can get dates from it, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, you know, dates during the month of Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, even though we're not allowed to go out and travel and do things so much, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still allowed for those dates to be imported and we can benefit from them. Also, coconuts. Oh, I bought more coconut water. I love coconut. Allahu Akbar. They come from the nakhla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it here. والنخيل. So the nakhla, the palm tree, the coconut, you cut the top off, stick a straw in there, or just drink right out of it. Subhanallah. For those of you that who live in Malaysia, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you to enjoy it, because we wish to enjoy that as well. And what is one saying? I will bring it to Canada if they allow it pass through the customs. Yeah, if they allow it, bismillah, I'll enjoy it, right? Subhanallah. I'd love to have that dragon fruit. But then you see the palm trees. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the grape vines. You know, when you're fasting and you take a grape, Allahu Akbar, right? It's just amazing. It replenishes all of that, you know, moisture that your body is missing out on. Perfect for the body, perfect for the skin, perfect for the soul, perfect for the tongue, perfect for the mind, perfect for everything. Allahu Akbar. These crops that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And then every type of fruit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. And every type of fruit. وَمِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. So whatever your favorite fruit is, if it's durian, or if it's mangosteen, or if it's rambutan, or if it's oranges and apples and grapes and pears and bananas and whatever else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provided it for us. We need to say alhamdulillah when we put it in our mouth and we taste it. It's just amazing. Especially when we're fasting, it's hard, right? For those of you who are living in the southern hemisphere, may Allah have mercy on you, because you're fasting a lot less than us. And we, you know, as difficult as it is for us, we have bragging rights. So we are allowed to talk about food right now, because we're going to break our fast very soon, inshallah, okay? One, if you're in Malaysia, say Malayu, I'm coming. Don't worry, inshallah, right? Malaysia boleh. All right, so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, let's leave the food and talk about the stars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the stars have been subjected by his command. Surely in this are signs for those who understand. When you look at the stars, you think to yourself, how vast is the sky? Simple thing we were talking about with our children the other day, when you see the shining of the star in the distance, it's actually from like a long time ago, days ago, maybe even months ago, right? I don't think it's months, but I think it's days, like 8 days, 7 days, 8 days, subhanAllah. The twinkling of the star is actually what happened long ago, because it's so far away and we're finally seeing it over here. But technically, it could have even been burnt up by now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, reminds us, there's signs in this for those who understand. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 13, and he subjected for you whatever he has created on earth of various colors. You know, when you're going to buy a laptop or you want to buy a new iPad and it says retina display and all these beautiful colors, super AMOLED and, you know, Snapdragon 855 and all this nonsense, right? All this technical stuff that most of us don't understand, but still it's there. It's talking about, you know, the colors and the refresh rate, the 90 hertz refresh rate and 120 hertz refresh rate. And subhanAllah, you know, the screen with all the colors, it's amazing. All those colors on the face of this earth created by who? Allahu Akbar, created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to top that off, you know, when you're looking at your screen and it's just plastic, it literally is just oil. It's black plastic oil. It's nothing fancy, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put power and abilities in his creation to give us from the best of this world so that we can enjoy it as well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely in those are signs for those who are mindful. Once again, reminding us to reflect. He then says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ الْبَحْرَ, and he is the one who has subjected the sea water. So from it you may eat tender seafood. King prawns. Grilled, buttered king prawns. Allahu Akbar, right? Or salmon, sushi, sashimi, you know, beautiful tuna, all these fish. Oh, the flavor. Especially if you grill it, barbecue it, put it on the fire, smoke it. Right now I'm missing Sheikh Ala. You know, when we travel and we're having breakfast in the morning, we have smoked salmon. He and I have this plate filled with smoked salmon. We go and ask the chef, do you have any more smoked salmon? Bring the smoked salmon. Just love it. The seafood, Allahu Akbar, so beautiful. And it's in me. My mother is Portuguese, so, you know, seafood is part of my blood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, you know, from the sea comes this tender food, so tender. Allahu Akbar, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. Lahman tariyan, tender seafood, because it actually is tender, right? It's not like the meat you get, you know, and then you need to pound it and beat it and tenderize it and, you know, sometimes even put some chemicals in there to tenderize it. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that seafood that is so tender. I've even had shark, and it is so soft and so nice, subhanAllah. When you eat it, it's literally like it just melts in your mouth. And extracts from the sea, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, ornaments that we wear, pearls, Allahu Akbar. You know, pearls that come from the sea. In Jannah we'll have pearls, no doubt. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of all of his creation on this earth. And you see the ships plowing through those waves in the sea. I just saw, you know, the other night I went on YouTube and I wanted to see ships that are flowing through the waves, because we were talking about Nuh alayhi salam, right? And I wanted to see the ships and how they're crashing against these waves. So just Google it, crazy waves, or go on YouTube and just, you know, search ships going through storms or going through crazy waves. And you'll see these waves, subhanAllah, the ship is like going up, 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 over the wave, and then and it crashes, and then the water just everywhere, and you wonder to yourself, how is this ship still in one piece? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who makes it happen, right? And the ship that plows through these waves, it's just cutting through these waves, they're as high as mountains, and they're just going right through it, floating, carrying the provisions of this world that you and I enjoy so much. So you may seek his bounty and give thanks to him. Allahu Akbar. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. وَأَلْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he placed into the earth firm mountains, so it does not shake with you, as well as rivers and pathways, so you may find your way. You know, subhanAllah, when you're up on the mountain or you see the water flowing, it's going to flow downstream. And so if you follow that river, not only is it going downstream, human beings naturally gravitate. So if you're ever lost, I remember, you know, learning about nature, if you're ever lost, find water and follow that. Go downstream, follow it. because human beings will live close to the water. They need the water to survive. So if you're ever lost, follow that water and continue to follow it. Eventually, just make sure there's no cliff. I didn't say that. Just don't be riding in the waves, right? So follow it and eventually you'll find human beings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that those are pathways so that we can find our way. Look at how Allah teaches us survival skills in the Quran. He then says in verse number 16, also by landmarks and stars do people find their way, right? You use the stars, you find your way. The North Star, bam, we know the direction of the Qibla. We know how to find our way back. That's the north. We need to go this way. We'll find our way home. Can the one who creates be equal to those who do not? Will you not then be mindful? If you tried to count Allah's blessings, he says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. We learned this yesterday, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, right? Or a couple of days ago. That if you try to add up all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to do so. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, and I'm actually going to revert to my notes now, because if I go through these ayat, we're going to run out of time. He then shows us, I want to stick to it, to be honest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about idol worshiping and how we need to stay away from those idols, right? We need to, not worship anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he gives us these signs, and then he reminds us of the importance of not worshiping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worship the stars, don't worship the sun, don't worship the moon, don't worship the rivers, don't worship the mountains, don't worship the fruits, don't worship nature. Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, they are amazing blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, but do not worship them. Only worship Allah Azza wa Jal. He then brings to surface, what are we going to talk about now? Rewards for those who migrate. Okay, rewards for those who migrate. Let's look at verse number 41. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for those who emigrated in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after being persecuted. So of course he's talking about the muhajirun who traveled with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. But what about you and I? What about those who, well, not really me because I was born and raised here, but those who left another country going through hardship, experiencing difficulty, and they left those lands to come here to enjoy a peaceful way of life, but that peaceful way of life is done with the intention of teaching our children Islam, teaching our children the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because maybe those lands they lived in were maybe Muslim majority lands, but their children were not safe. Their children were not able to actually learn Islam, or, you know, the method of Islam or teaching Islam was not one that the children or that the parents preferred for their children. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us anyone who sacrifices and leaves their land and goes to another land for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentions after being persecuted, we will surely bless them with a good home in this world. Allahu Akbar. Maybe this is why all of you who came from other countries own houses in Canada, right? It's not because of your wealth. It's not because of your job. It's not because of your profession. It's not because of the titles that you have. It's not because of the amount of education that your parents put you through. It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that you would have a beautiful home in this dunya because of the sacrifice you have made. And if your intention, my brothers and sisters, when you made that migration, was not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was not for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then just tweak your intention. Just turn that dial. We don't use a dial anymore, right? We don't even use buttons anymore. We just use our fingers. So just swipe that finger in the right direction. Make it go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, straight to Jannah, right? Make that swipe go in the right direction so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your main focal point. And from there, my brothers and sisters, you'll see prosperity start coming to you. You'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with you. Tweak your intentions. Make it such that you intended to come here maybe to escape the hardships of that lifestyle. Alhamdulillah. You've made it here now. Alhamdulillah. Wherever it is you are, some of you are in different countries. I'm not saying that Canada is the best country on earth. It is, but it I'm not saying that, you know. There are many countries on earth that are amazing. Canada is one of the nicest countries, no doubt, but there are many countries out there. Each one has their own pros and cons. I do feel that we are, alhamdulillah, blessed to be in Canada, and is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt. You know, would we want any other place to live? Allah knows, right? But have we seen beautiful things on earth? Yes, we've traveled the world, you know, subhanAllah, to have, I'm going to say it, to have a nice cappuccino sitting down at a table outside Marienplatz in Munich, Germany, would be a nice thing right now. To be walking along Bondi Beach in the middle of the night when no one is there, and it's nice and cool, and you feel the sand on your feet, and you feel the waves coming in the middle of the summer, Allahu Akbar. That's amazing. To hear the adhan being called out loud, not just during the month of Ramadan from a speaker where you got to drive like 15 minutes to get to the masjid, you know, a little speaker hanging outside a window of the adhan being called, but the adhan being called from like multiple different masajid, and the salah being heard outside, and the lights, you know, lighting up the streets like we would see in so many countries, lights during the month of Ramadan, celebration, people outside frying and grilling and cooking food on the streets, serving it to people, people sitting literally on tables and chairs outside, or sufras spread outside, people sitting down enjoying their iftar all together. You know, that's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't get that here. So there are many things on earth in different places that you'll get, certain things that you won't get in other places of the world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here that those who sacrificed and made a migration for the sake of pleasing Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with reward, with his bounties. And he says, a home in this world, but the reward of the hereafter is far better, if only they knew. So if you don't have a home and you haven't been blessed with a home, alhamdulillah, the reward in the hereafter is far better than the reward that we will get in this world. So don't make your migration for the sake of Allah, because you're going to get a home. No, make your migration for the sake of Allah. If you have a home, alhamdulillah. If you don't have a home, alhamdulillah. Right? The point is, continue to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 42, it is they who have patiently endured, and in their Lord they put their trust. No doubt, leaving family, leaving your home country, leaving what's familiar to you, your food, your culture, your language, you know, your lifestyle, your everything, your friends, the place you grew up in. Leaving all of that behind for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not easy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they patiently endured and they will continue to put their trust in Allah, and they will be the ones who receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's move to verse number 68, where Allah talks about the bees. Ooh, I'm running out of time. Okay, verse number 68, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here, and your Lord inspired the bees. Make your homes in the mountains, the trees, and in what people construct. Subhanallah. Allah has commanded the bees to make their homes in the mountains, in the trees, and on things that people, human beings, have constructed. So the bees have been given command to be there. I know, they're going to give us honey, right? We enjoy, oh, Allahu Akbar. Surah An-Nahl is filled with food, right? Honey, breaking your fast and tasting honey. I wish to just dip my finger in a big jar of honey right now and just, Allahu Akbar, right? Absolutely amazing. Honey from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he then says, and your Lord instructed the bees, or inspired the bees, and feed, you know, to construct their homes, where to construct their homes, and feed from the flower of any fruit that you please. So the bees have been instructed to eat from the flowers that we plant, or that we look after, that we help to grow, and follow the ways of your Lord has made easy for you. And follow the ways your Lord has made easy for you. From their bellies come forth liquid of varying colors, in which there is healing for people. Cure, my brothers and sisters, cure to illnesses, disease, bacteria, virus, pure is found in certain things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning honey. You want cure from coronavirus? Eat some honey. I'm not saying that it is and it has been proven, but I'm saying that Allah tells us that cure comes from that which is extracted from the stomach of the, or from the belly of the bees, that varies in colors, and that liquid in itself heals human beings. Surely in this is a sign for those who reflect. Allahu Akbar. So much food in Surah An-Nahl, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a number of things. Let me just look at my notes here. I'll push this aside. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, mentions the bees, wonderful contribution to agriculture. They produce from their bellies this cure for human beings. In that is signs for those who reflect, blessings in man, people's livelihood, mates, children, grandchildren. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, you know, hearing, sight, birds. Okay, so the hearing, sight, birds that fly in the sky, homes, furnishings, you know, the skin from the animals, it's clothing for us as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions clothing. Then he mentions shade. Imagine a world without shade. Imagine a world without shade. Allahu Akbar. A world without shade. How difficult things would be, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with shade. And places of refuge in mountains, garments, coats. All of these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this surah. Look at how many blessings of Allah. And that's why I said at the beginning of this surah, you want to recognize your creator? You want to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Read through and understand this surah, Surah An-Nahl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you such a clear insight into things that we take for granted all the time. He then says that the Quran, he shows us, you know, the Quran explains everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 90, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Indeed, Allah commands justice, grace, as well as courtesy to close relatives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for us. He encourages goodness in everything. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also forbids indecency. Right? He says, وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. He forbids indecency, wickedness, and aggression. Be nice, my brothers and sisters. Be nice to each other. You know, my wife mentioned something the other day. Let's get this for the children so the children can see beautiful gum and Skittles in a bag that my daughter gave to me so I can have at Suhoor. But my wife was pointing it out to the girls last night. Remember, we learned this in the masjid. How do you give something to someone? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us things on earth in the nicest way. Anything we want is there ready for us. The fruits are hanging from the trees waiting for us. Just take it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that in the Quran. But then as human beings, we learn from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you're giving something to someone, give it to them like this. Give it to them from, you know, don't be the upper hand, right? Don't just be like, here, take it, here, take it, here, take it. No, be the one who gives like this so people come and they have the upper hand, okay? So that's important, my brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, don't use aggression. Don't be like rough and harsh with people. Be soft, be calm, be gentle. In times when it's needed to be, you know, stern and strict, bismillah, go ahead. But generally speaking, be kind. And he instructs, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. He instructs you, so perhaps you will be mindful. Very quickly, in the last few minutes, inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then shows us the remedy for happiness, or the formula for happiness. What is the formula for happiness? Very simple. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here in verse number 97 of Surah An-Nahl. Whoever does good, whether male or female, this is the formula to happiness. You want to be happy? Here you go. Whoever does good, whether male or female, doesn't matter, okay? Whoever does good, male or female, and is a believer, we will surely bless them with a good life, and we will certainly reward them according to the best of their deeds. Subhanallah. You know, some people go through extreme hardship. And, you know, there was a sister who, you know, she had contacted me for something, and she mentioned once, you know, she said, and I told her, I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, is blessing you with this. And, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you ease. And then she says, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must really like me because he tests me a lot. And I was like, subhanAllah, that's an amazing way to look at it, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you because he loves you. And so when hardship comes our way, it's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Embrace it, take it, accept it, and roll with it. And then lastly, my brothers and sisters, an advice given to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on how to invite people. And so he says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idhati al hasana wajadilhum billati hi ahsan." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom, hikmah, وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, and with good, kind advice. And only debate people in the best manner. Okay, only debate with people in the best manner. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you retaliate, actually, I didn't even want to take that verse today. I was just reading through it, but we'll leave that. We'll end there, inshallah. It is almost time for, or it is, you know, depending on where you are, time for iftar. Jazakum Allahu khayran wa barakallahu feekum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from every single one of us. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And remember, before you leave, establish prayer and give zakah. nzfcanada.ca.com. Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.